at Waterview's Pines Healthcare Facility, and we can always use people to come along and help with the singing and help the residents find the songs in the hymnal. On Saturday night at 5 o'clock, there will be a mission event at Bywabi Covenant. It's at 5, not at 6, as previously announced. There will be a baked potato bar and then a presentation by Covenant missionaries to Mexico, Carl and Sue Peterson. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. The people at Bywabik would like to know how many will be able to be there. So please sign up if you are able to attend. I hope we will have a good turnout from our church. There will be a free will offering a Saturday night for a Covenant World Mission. We're going to be hearing in a few minutes about Covenant Park, and we do have some needs at Covenant Park this Saturday, and then again on the 20th, there will be a work day at Covenant Park to get ready the camp, to get the camp ready for camping this summer. If you're able to help out there, I'm sure they would appreciate it. Also, they will be voting on changes to the Constitution, and we do need a delegate to go and vote on June 24th. I believe these are the announcements. Please stand, please, and join in the call to worship as found in your bulletin. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Praise God for his victory over death.
Praise God for his gift of eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hymn number 242, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Thank you.
Shall we pray? God of glory, fill your church with the power that flows from Christ's resurrection, that in the midst of this sinful world, it may be a signal, the beginning of a renewed humanity, risen to new life with Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
I turned it off instead of on. Our scripture readings this morning start with Psalm 23, very familiar to all of us. Psalm 23, the Lord, the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And our gospel lesson today is from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way, this is the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly."
We have with us this morning Dane Strom, who is program director at Covenant Park, and he is going to give us an update on things that are going on at the camp.
Play the video first, and then I will go ahead and talk.
Thank you. Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Every time I see that video, I get all excited to have campers again. And in spite of the fact that I had half an inch of snow in my yard this morning, and it's right around the corner. Like you said, I'm Dane Strum. I am program director at Covenant Park. I've been working out at camp since 2016 was my first summer there. And one of the really cool things that I've gotten to see as I've been there over the past 7 years is that, like, we encounter all of these people who have stories from their experience at camp. You know, I gave my life to Christ at camp. My parents, my grandparents gave their lives to Christ. I met my spouse at camp. I have a friend who will come to camp and he can find the knot in the floorboard of the chapel that he was staring at when he gave his life to Christ. Justin, who was our worship director and media person at camp last summer, compared this to Hebrews 12:1, which says, "Since we have been surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight and sin and run the race that has been set before us." And so, like, I love that, because it shows us that camp is not just, you know, the almost 400 kids that we had at camp last summer, but it is the thousands of people who have been touched by camp over the last 83 years. So camp has been hugely influential on a ton of people's lives. Another anecdote is, like, I've gone to places very far away and run into people who are like, "Oh, you work at Covenant Park? I went there as a kid. I was in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin last summer. I met someone there. I was at Bethel University this winter. One of the cafeteria people told me that." And so camp has a legacy of changing people's lives. And as we see kids coming to camp now, it becomes apparent that it's only becoming more important in kids' faith journey. We're seeing things like with COVID, kids were kind of locked away for a year and didn't get that social interaction, and that has had a big impact on their development. And so being able to be at camp and have that spiritual community is helping to rebuild that. We see with the way our culture is with technology and social media, kids are not getting outside as much. There's increasing rates of depression and anxiety. And with kids going away to college, over half of the kids who grew up in the church are walking away from their faith in college right now. And so we even see this as kids come to camp. Like they get there the first day and they're kind of inside their shells and kind of rigid and not super energetic, especially the older kids. And then as the week goes on, you'll hear them sharing their stories and talking to people and getting into worship. And when we do camp songs, the chapel floor is doing this. And like we saw, we had 5 baptisms last year. We had 7 the year before that. And so we are still seeing kids' lives being hugely impacted by camp, even in the midst of a world and a life that is really, really hard for them spiritually. And it's not just kids either, because one of the areas that we're seeing we're growing the most is in retreat groups. So other churches or other organizations that are bringing groups of people to camp to use the facilities, especially now with the Lakeside Lodge building being completed, us being able to do stuff year-round, we are having tons of groups come to camp and having similar experiences at every age group, from little kids all the way up to grandparents. And so I just want to highlight a couple of ways that you can be involved in camp if you are so inclined. So we're still looking for staff and volunteers. If you have kids, grandkids, whatever, who want to spend lots of time at camp this summer, it's an amazing experience for them, and you can ask pretty much anybody who has ever done it, and they will tell you that it was amazing. It really helped them grow in their faith, and camp doesn't happen without those people. Like you said before, we have the work days coming up on the 6th and the 20th. With the winter we had, there's going to be a lot of broken branches and stuff all over the grounds of camp. So it takes a lot of work to get camp back up into shape for the summer. We also have the open house on June 24th. So if you want to come and spend the day at camp, that's a perfect opportunity to do that. It's open to anybody. We have food. We have lots of stuff going on, like the climbing wall and the boats running and stuff like that. So, and lots of people come to that. That's always really fun to see a couple hundred people out at camp. And that's a great place to hear those stories that I mentioned before. If you want to give financially, the thing that we're really pushing right now is what we're calling the staff blessing. The staff that spends their summers out at camp don't get paid a ton, and they pour their heart and soul into camp over the course of the summer. So we have a fund that people are giving to right now, and at the end of the summer, whatever is in that will be given to the summer staff as a blessing to them as we send them back into their, you know, college lives or whatever else that they're doing. And then finally, you can pray for camp. I forget who said this, but I heard it said that prayer is not the preparation for the work of God. It is the work of God. And so, you know, camp has had a ton of people praying for it over the last 83 years. And you know, I think that's a big part of why camp's ministry has been so impactful. And so pray for camp. And if you want to be more specifically involved in prayer, you can be a prayer partner for one of our summer staff. Everybody gets partnered up with one staff, and they're able to have that person praying specifically for them over the course of the summer. So I will be around after the service. I have some cards with some of that information on it if you would like one of those. I'll hand it off from there.
Thank you, Dane. Our church has been supporting Covenant Park financially and with prayer. And we've had down through the years, we've had a number of our young people involved at camp. When we've heard the word of God, we respond with song and prayer, and also with witness and our gifts. For all things we have and are small, yet tangible offerings of ourselves to the Lord. We'll ask our usher to come and wait on us for the morning offering. Let's pray. Loving God, may our sense of belonging within a community of faith nurture the longing to be your faithful servants. Teach us to build a partnership with your Spirit that advances the ways of generosity and grace. Accept our giving and receive our gifts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for this special time of the year when we focus on the resurrection of your Son and the life eternal that we have because of what he has done for us. We thank you for Covenant Park and the ministry it has had in many, many lives over the more than 80 years it has been in existence. We pray that you would be with the camp this summer as lives are touched and people come to know you and renew their relationship with you. We thank you for our church, and we thank you for your presence with us during this period of transition. Thank you that we have had people willing to preach for us each Sunday, and we pray that you would continue to lead and guide us as we search for a pastor. May we find one who will be able to lead us out into the community and bring new people in. Over the last few weeks, we've had a rash of senseless gun violence in our nation, and we just pray that cool heads might prevail and that there will be an end to that violence. We pray for the areas of our country that have experienced massive flooding and tornadoes. Be with them as they work to clean up following those events. We pray for the countries of Turkey and Syria as they continue to deal with the massive earthquake which they experience. And we pray for the country of Sudan that is embroiled in civil war. We pray that peace might prevail there. Be with our military, be with Grace Koski and Sarah as they serve in the military. We thank you for our public servants, our police and fire personnel, as they protect us. Keep them safe. Be with us now as we continue to worship. Speak to our hearts through the message, and may we leave here refreshed and able to go out into the week. We ask these things in your name. Amen. We're happy to have Mike and Kathy back with us after they're spending some time in the South, and we will look forward to Mike's message for us this morning. Before he preaches, would you turn to hymn number 255, Good Christian Friends Rejoice and Sing.
Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Is winter ever going to end? I was thinking the work day out at camp on Saturday may be shoveling snow, for goodness sake. I don't know. I want to put a plug in for Covenant Park. I've been out there a couple of times counseling. We don't have a lot of young people that we come in touch with. We have through the years, but I mean this year. It seems like we don't have a lot of young people, but you may come in contact with a young person somewhere along the line and can talk to them about Covenant Park. The uniqueness to me about Covenant Park is that it ministers to a generation that we have challenges ministering to. Is that putting it politely? And I've been encouraged. The world that we live in, the United States that we live in, and to me the state of Minnesota recently, has been very discouraging. However, as I look, one of the things I like to do is look across what God is doing in the United States. I don't expand that to the world because my brain isn't big enough to understand all that. But I try to keep an eye on the pulse of Christianity in the United States. And there are some very positive, you may not believe this because of all that we see, there are some very positive things that are happening in the United States. Maybe it seems like we're at the bottom of the pit. but one of the things I was reading about this week is Gen Z, and I don't know these year divisions or whatever they, but this particular guy was saying that Gen Z starts at about 2002 or something like that. But it's the current young people generation, which frankly I don't understand. We've got a couple of young adults that we've helped out through the years who are the one before that, millennials. And they're on their little electronic things all the time. And in fact, when we have trouble with electronics, we call one of them to help us out. And the way that they look at life and their into this social media and all that kind of stuff so much. But anyway, one of the commentaries in this article that I was reading is Gen Z, this new young people generation who will be going to camp that Dane was talking about, have a new, different, admittedly different, a new interest in what we would call spiritual matters. It's a searchingness that they're seeing, and it's probably because everything is so full of despair. and so I want to encourage you to, if we can't send young people there this summer during camp, is to put it on the prayer list. Pray for those young people at camp. We as a church can give to support that ministry, but I agree with Dane. Probably the most powerful thing that we can do is get serious about praying that God will meet those young people in camp. That was just an advertisement. Today, you can see the title of the message in the bulletin, and I don't want to make it complicated. And as you know, I'm always challenged with titles of messages, and sometimes I get them good, and sometimes I don't, and sometimes I miss them completely. So I don't want to make this complicated. What I want to talk to you today about is our church. You've probably figured out by now that I believe God wants us here. Despite everything we see, despite the challenges, I believe that God has put this ministry here for a purpose. And we have ebbs and flows low points and high points. I've mentioned before that I was not at the founding of this church, though I may look old enough to have been. But I am firmly convinced when this church was founded that the founders of this church prayed and believed that this ministry would continue to the coming of Jesus. I also mentioned before that I believe God is interested in this ministry continuing to the coming of Jesus. We have had challenges, and we're currently in one of those challenges, I think. And part of that challenge is getting a pastor. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So it's not real complicated like the title in your bulletin. Not real complicated at all. We have been praying for a pastor. I believe probably everyone here has been praying to the Lord to give us a pastor. What I want to ask you to do today is to get more specific. And I kind of hinted at that the last time. And that is, tell God what you want. What is it you want? What is it that you feel that you need? Yes, the need for us as a group. Yes, the need for our community. But what is it that is primary on your heart? And it may be more than one thing. What is it that is primary on your heart that you really want God to bless us with here at First Covenant Church? I was thinking of that this morning. First Covenant Church. We're the only covenant church. Maybe we should change the name to Only Covenant Church. Oh no, we can't do that. That's weird. But we're the First Covenant Church because we were the first covenant church in Virginia, Minnesota. And now we're the only one. And as I told you before or mentioned before, I think the covenant church has distinctives that can really have a powerful effect on, I'll call it, our Quad City area. So, and I want to mention this too. This has happened to me three times in the number of times I've preached, and it happened again today. I came to church with my scripture passages prepared, and the scriptures were read for me. And I just delight in that. God knows what he's doing, and he's kind of coordinating this whole effort. And so the scriptures that we've already heard are the scriptures that I wanted to focus on. Psalm 23 and John 10. And we'll get to those in just a second. But we read those through, and we have a little time to think about them. I like that little pause afterwards. But we don't have a time to meditate on them. And even in a message, we don't have a lot of time to meditate on them. But I want to focus on a couple of things. Let me start in Matthew chapter 9, because I want to challenge, and again, most of you know that I am interested in challenging us to action. Maybe think action, it may be prayer action, but I don't believe we're here to just sit and absorb. So I want to challenge you right off the bat, and I tried to think of an example, but I couldn't. So I'm just going to take it right from Matthew chapter 9. And let's see, let's start with verse 37 and 38 because we're familiar with those. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Dane illustrated that for Covenant Park. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Where have we heard that used for? Evangelism. Get out. Do something for Jesus. I want to put it in context, and I want to challenge you to think about the context. So let's back up one verse to verse 36 and put it in the right context. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." If we put it into context, it isn't a context of evangelism. It's a context of shepherding the sheep. And sometimes in an evangelical church, we forget that part. Or maybe we overlook that part or don't think it is as important. But Jesus' focus in his ministry, I want to remind you, as he said at the end of the ministry to his Father, "I have kept everyone that you have given to me, except the son of perdition, Judas, who was preordained." Jesus' focus was to keep the ones that God had picked. And that's why I think Jesus looks over the multitude and says, "You know what we need for workers? We need shepherds." I want you to see that for two reasons. Number one, Jesus is interested in giving us a shepherd. He's not sitting around somewhere doing nothing. He is actively working today to send us a shepherd. I have no idea where that's going to come from, where that person's going to come from. When I graduated from Bible college, I went to a Christian and Missionary Alliance Bible College, which was called St. Paul Bible College, now called Crown College. They changed the name after I graduated. And they helped us to find places to candidate at. And so one of the places that I wrote a letter to, and they invited me to come and candidate, was a Christian and Missionary Alliance church in Stacy, Minnesota. And that was my first church that I went to candidate at. And so I went there. I graduated in December, and so it was in January that I went to this church. And you know, Minnesota winters. And so I got to the church, and there's about half a dozen elderly women standing outside in the church and in the cold, and the church is locked. And so I stood there for a few minutes, and then I said to someone, "Well, enough of this noise." Pulled out my credit card that I had at the time, slid it into the door latch of the church and opened the door. "I'm not going to talk to you about my past." And one of the ladies says, "Now this is the kind of pastor we need." I wasn't invited back. The second church that I candidated at was the Covenant Church in Cook, Minnesota. I had never heard of Covenant. All I knew is that it was encouraged by the Bible college that I went to, that a good, solid evangelical denomination, or at that time a fellowship. And so I candidated at that church and was called, and I spent 3.5 years at that church, pastoring and ministering the Word of God. And we had a group of young people, about a dozen young people, some of them from the church, some of them were friends of the kids from the church. And it was just an awesome time of discipling those young people. I think it was probably the highlight of my ministry there. And I still run into those young people occasionally. One has become a Christian leader. And the point being that we don't know where God is going to pull this person from. Maybe we keep thinking it's just going to be through our covenant channels or something like that. But maybe it's going to be from a Bible college somewhere that says, this is a good denomination. You should give it a chance. Send a letter and see what they think. We don't know. But I am convinced that God is working to send us a person. We have a couple of challenges right now in Christendom, in Christianity, especially in the United States of America. I call them crises. The first crisis we have is the crisis of leadership. Jesus ran into the same crisis. Do you remember who his greatest enemies were? And we talked about this before. Jesus' greatest enemies were his own religion. And that's just hard for me to understand. Well, we have some similar things happening in Christianity as a religion today. In Matthew 25, verse 13, we're told that there will be false leaders. Jesus tells us there will be false leaders all through time until he returns again. We have seen false leaders. Now, when I say that, you might think of Jim Jones and, what was it, Guyana and Kool-Aid, some kind of a poison. I don't remember what kind of a poison it was. Well, Jim Jones started as, according to him, a minister of God and a minister of Jesus. Well, we can see at the end point, he wasn't. But I've always thought through the years, how could these people be so deceived? How could you end up drinking poisoned Kool-Aid because your leader says that's the right thing to do? And I don't understand that. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand that. Some of the people, as you know, saw through that and tried to escape. Some actually did escape and were able to tell us the story of what happened. Or maybe you think of David Koresh and the Branch Davidian compound. I felt sorry for those folks when it happened. I didn't think it had to happen with the fire and all that kind of stuff. Why all those people had to die. I read the history afterwards, and to me it still doesn't support what actually happened. But in reading the history, David Koresh was a false leader. No question about it. There's another group of leaders that Jesus warns us about in Matthew 5:19, and that is leaders who deal falsely. And I want to read you this very interesting scripture. If I can find it. Oh yeah, there it is. Matthew 5:19. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments, and we would probably identify them as a leader who leads falsely, and so teaches others, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, the thing that astounds me about that is he's not talking about false leaders. He's talking about leaders who lead falsely. He says that whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others, which is leading people astray, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Which to me means that there's going to be some leaders who are going to get into heaven, even though they've led people astray. My interest is, can we get leaders who lead us right and help us out? And they also make it into heaven. So I don't want false leaders, and I don't want leaders who lead falsely. Well, needless to say, the greatest leader, and we read it, well, we almost read it in John chapter 10, so I want to go back to John chapter 10 so we can read the next couple of verses, starting at verse 11. Jesus is speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. We know that Jesus is the great shepherd. Do you think that Jesus is interested in keeping his sheep, getting us there, getting us across the finish line? Well, of course. The next question is a little bit more challenging. Do you think Jesus is actively working with you and me, each of us individually, to get us across the finish line? Do you think he is actively involved in your life, wherever you are, high point, low point, rich, poor, sickness, health, wherever you are, do you think Jesus is actively involved in your life, the great shepherd? I think you all would say yes. And then the challenge is to internalize it on those difficult days, isn't it? On those hard days, to say, yes, Lord, you are with me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust you. 5 minutes later, if you're like me, you pick it back up again and say, I'm worried about it. So, Lord, I'm going to give it to you again. I believe that you are my great shepherd. Here's the change for today. The leadership that Jesus put in place for this planet isn't just that he's the great shepherd. What he put in place for this planet, for his people, is listed in Ephesians 4. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to people. Remember the list? Apostles, prophets. The word used in my translation is pastor, teacher, and evangelist. We call those the fivefold ministry. Well, we don't want an apostle, because an apostle is someone who is sent away. The best example for us would be missionaries. Missionaries have an apostolic mission. They probably wouldn't accept if you called them apostle, because we revere our 12 original apostles. But they are apostles, which means people who are sent. Prophet. A prophet who is someone who speaks on behalf of God. And we've had prophetic ministry occasionally. Evangelist. Wayne prayed for us this morning. So we want someone to come here who would reach out into the community. That's evangelism. In addition to working with us here, we have a community that needs Jesus. Amen? For sure. And teacher. I think all of us know teachers. We have Bob back there who's a teacher. We have Wayne who's a teacher. Some of the others of you have been teachers. Some of you have been Sunday school teachers. And then we have that fifth one, pastor. Do you realize that in all of the Old Testament and in all of the New Testament, the Hebrew and Greek word for the word used there, translated pastor, except for that one place, is never translated pastor. It is always translated shepherd. The same thing Jesus said he was, and the same thing Jesus said we need. Now, if Jesus says he looks out over the world and says, these folks need shepherds, do you think he's interested in getting this job done? So I just want to encourage you. And since those scriptures were read this morning, I don't want to read them again, but I want to give you a homework assignment, and I do this occasionally. You must know by now that I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher. Give you a homework assignment, and the homework assignment is this, Psalm 23. Most of you don't even need to look it up. What Psalm 23 describes is a pastor, or what the Bible calls a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. I lie down in green pastures. This, Psalm 23, is a shepherd. As we pray for God to send the right person to us, whomever that might be, are you praying for an evangelist? Are you praying for a teacher? Are you praying for an apostle that can come here and leave? Are you praying for a prophet? Are you praying for a pastor? And before I leave, I don't want to leave you with a misconception. We can have a pastor who is also an evangelist. We can have a pastor who is also a teacher. And so don't just narrow it down. But remember what I said. Let's tell God what our hearts are asking for, what we need as his very small little sheepfold here. We desperately need his person for us. Amen? Thank you.
Thank you, Mike, for that challenge. As we close the service, let us turn in our hymnals to hymn number 625, I Then Shall Live, and we'll stand as we sing. Let's turn to one another and sing the blessing.